as I wait.
Heart Hello, of God. Hello, welcome to the Growth Fruit Podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here at Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you get the most out of your small group discussion each week. This week, we're continuing our series in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, a series based on the book by Peter Scazzaro, and we are in, let's see, what week are we in? We're in week six, aren't
we? Yes, we're in week six.
Week six of eight. And this is a chapter about Sabbath and rhythms. What's its formal title, Jonathan? Is it?
No, it's not quite Discover Rhythm and Sabbath. It's I will find out exactly what the title is.
Sorry for asking you a question you weren't ready to answer.
It is Discover the Rhythms of the Daily Office and Sabbath.
Yeah. Two things which have been very impactful in Peter Scazzaro's life, as we find out in that chapter.
And it's interesting because having, in a sense, we get, I think I said in the sermon last week that we get, that this gets harder and harder. And in a sense, we're moving here into the land of practical.
Right.
Which impossibility, as some people would say. This is just not
okay.
This is just not possible.
Not feasible in my life right now.
Right. Which is
Do you know what's on my schedule?
Exactly. And that's really what I think he is seeking to challenge in us, and I think God challenges us to actually look and say, you know, in the phrase that we've used a couple of times, this isn't just the way it is.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. Making it different will be difficult, but it can be different.
Mm-hmm. And he takes us back to previous generations of the church, centuries ago, oftentimes, in order to give us a picture about what that different might look like.
Right.
But let's look at our first question, a question called Crazy Busy. Scazzaro observed, many of us are overscheduled, tense, addicted to hurry, frantic, preoccupied, fatigued, and starved for time, cramming as much as possible into our to-do lists. We waffle life to make the best use of every spare minute. Where does the concept of rhythm fit into this description of daily life in Western culture? And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least busy and 10 being the most busy, how busy are you? And where on the scale would you like to be?
Yeah, this gets right to the heart of the matter straight away, in as much as if we consider right the way back to the book of Genesis, and we consider how God created the earth. He said there was in each day, as he goes through creation, said there was evening and there was morning of the third day, the first day, the second day, the third. And so God created life in a rhythm that that repeated itself and provided both for work and for rest. Because the evening went dark, and so you couldn't do anything at night.
So you're resting every day.
You're resting for maybe up to 12 hours every day. And then at the end of the week, God rests. So there was a rhythm to what he did. I mean, God could have, the fact that he created by his word, he could have done the whole lot.
Right. And it seems likely that we won't sleep or rest in the new heavens and the new earth.
Right.
There won't be any night.
But there was clearly, he created the earth to be like that. And yet, when you look at it, we have destroyed that. The development of human life, and this isn't a statement of good, bad, evil, or the otherwise, because it's a huge question. I mean, on Sunday, I held up an electric light bulb, and said, "Look, here's one of the greatest destroyers of rhythm that humans have actually created, because you can now stay up all night.
I can get a lot of homework done with one
of those. Yes, you get a whole lot of homework done with one of those. So, but if we'd lived in the Jesus's day, you know, they may have had candles or whatever, but right at the beginning, that, you know, who knows when that started, but God originally established it to be light and dark. When it went dark, you couldn't do anything. So we have completely destroyed those rhythms and made the way we live life our own. And it hasn't been thoroughly successful, because we created monumental activity and a lot of exhaustion and
there's
lack of emotional health, physical health. The pace of life is so, and everybody complains about it. You know, you ask anybody what how they are. I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm one of those things.
Right, those are acceptable responses to that question.
They are, and nobody thinks they're strange. And you know,
it's almost something to become proud of too. Like
right,
how busy
I mean,
you are
in church life. You know, you almost wear it as a badge of honor. That you haven't had any days off, which I think is, I think it's an affront. I don't think that gives that God thinks that's cool.
Right. I mean, the Sabbath was made for man.
Right.
Jesus teaches it's for our good.
God created those things because he knew we were going to need them, mm-hmm. and we basically turn around and say, well, actually, we don't. We've got too much to do. Mm.
Well, let's look at some of those rhythms in Scripture. That's the title of our second question. Scripture provides us with several models of people arranging their lives with rhythms of rest and reflection. What do the examples of the Israelites, David, Daniel, and even God himself, teach us about centering ourselves on God and his truth in the face of a distracting world? How is the biblical Sabbath different than simply a day off?
Well, I think that this is the key that we've to what the author's talking about, what we're talking about here, is the key is the focus. When you take a day off, you just stop doing whatever you're doing.
Right, the secular and Sabbath.
That's important, but it's not the whole picture, because the reason why God created the Sabbath, if you look at Exodus chapter 20, it's right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. It's the longest of the Ten Commandments, the most specific.
Yeah.
He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The sense that this has to be different and focused on God is important. That we should undertake that part of our activities should be to enable us to be focused on God. To in a sense, if we stop, we recognize that God's in charge of the world and we're not, and the world's not going to stop if we stop. But he intends it for our good, that we should delight in it, we should look forward to it. In her book, Sacred Rhythms, Ruth Haley Barton talks about really when she started thinking about the fact that she could have a Sabbath, she began to realize that she longed for that time of slowing down, and that the way in which, and you know, the Israelites, their national history was as slaves before that, which meant that they worked all the hours that were there.
Yeah, we don't know the details of what their life was like. And even when we went through the Exodus series, they were having meetings and talking.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, but undoubtedly they were.
But Sabbathing was probably not anything that they were used to doing.
Right. And the practice of Sabbath.
And so God is so specific that he tells them to do this, and he makes it a command.
Right.
And then and we see David practicing times of prayer regular times of prayer. We see Daniel prayed four times a day, if my memory serves me, but three times a day Daniel prayed, and he wouldn't stop that. Yeah. And all of that powerful. enables these people to focus, to remind them that God, their objective, their direction, their...
Yeah, and I think sometimes with these characters in Scripture, we admire their faith.
Right.
Like David fighting Goliath and Daniel being fearless in the lion's den. We're like, man, I wish I had faith like that. And then you look at the kind of lives that they led that enabled them and built that faith
built
in
that
them.
Faith. Yeah.
David prayed seven times a day, and then he's able to take on Goliath.
Right.
If we want to have a strong faith, there are certain things that God encourages us to do in order to strengthen that faith.
And it recognizes that it comes from God.
Right.
It's not, you say, yeah. If I'm going to fight a lion, I'm going to go to the gym,
Well, let's look at our next question. Question three. Sabbath is made for man, and women, humans. Scazzaro introduces us to two spiritual rhythms, the Sabbath and the daily office. The goal of each is to create in us a continual and easy familiarity with God's presence throughout our day. I really like that phrase. How do these practices accomplish this, and what other lessons do they teach? What practices do you do on a regular basis which help you stay connected to God? Which practices do you do already in your spiritual life which help you stay connected to God?
I think that, the fundamental reality is the fact that we can, you can do your quiet time in the morning. But as Scazzaro says in the book, and most of us have probably experienced, even however faithful you are to do your quiet time in the morning, by lunchtime you've forgotten a lot of it. And really, what we're learning is that our emotional health depends upon us being connected to God all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That the more permanent and the more strong our connection to God is all the time. And that means that we have to take action because of our humanity. We have to take certain action to refocus our lives on a regular basis. Now, okay, David did it seven times a day, but that may not be possible for you and me.
Right.
But it's probably more possible than we think. And I like the way Scazzaro actually helps us really understand that you don't have to say, well, I've got to take an hour's silence, three times a day. But in the daily office, which I don't know how many of you've tried the daily office, but I found it extraordinarily helpful. I'm probably on my third or fourth time through it, and it's really, really good.
So you're doing the morning-evening thing.
I wouldn't say I was... One of the things that Scazzaro says at the beginning of the daily office is give yourself a lot of grace, because this takes practice, and it takes... I'm trying to do the morning, and the morning in the middle of the day.
Okay.
I don't always get it right.
Mm.
But as he said, I took his word for it, and I've given myself a lot of grace. Because, because it's really difficult to establish that rhythm. If I don't do it at lunchtime, then sometimes I'll do it in the evening. But again, you've got to learn. But he does this really helpful, where he gives the different aspects of that time. He gives you 2 minutes quiet at the beginning, 2 minutes silence at the end, so that you begin to appreciate the silence of listening to God.
Mm.
And then the whole subject of Sabbath and taking time to focus our time upon God, not simply saying, well, I'm going to do something different.
Right.
Learning that God gave us those things that we should, there are things that we should delight in, like quiet conversation, like going for a walk. I mean, that will be different for every single person, but things that replenish us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. All gifts of God. Last question. How do we make this happen? How can you develop rhythms of pause in your daily life which maintain your spiritual health? What 24-hour period might work for you at this phase of your journey to practice Sabbath? Share your intention with your group and keep one another accountable.
That's always a good idea. Mm. I don't think we should get discouraged. If you can't find a 24-hour period yet, if you can find a 12-hour period, if you can find a 6-hour period, then and realize that the objective is to get a 24-hour period, mm-hmm. but you need to build this into your rhythm, then do that. Don't say, oh, I can't do it. Start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Start somewhere and recognizing the objective. The objective is to keep us focused, is to help us to keep focused on our need for to be aware of the presence of God every moment of our day, and do something that helps us to do that. I love one of the other things that Scazzera says, whatever you're doing, if it doesn't work, don't do it. Mm-hmm. But find things that do and build.
That's good advice. I love the flexibility that he builds into his encouragement. Well, that wraps it up for us this week. I hope this conversation has been helpful to you and your small group. Next week, we are continuing in our series. We'll be in session 7 of 8, and we hope to see you then. God bless.
As I wait, heart of God.